A little boy held a conch shell. In another, a girl danced with a flower. A third had a prancing horse, and the last, a warrior on one knee. All were skillfully sculpted and preserved. Dean walked at his father's side.
Some place, huh?
The slopes were gentle, the surface of the interlinked paths smooth. The banks of flowers rose to high walls of yew hedges that blocked off any distant perspectives.
Someone's watching us, lover.
Yeah, I can feel it as well. Everyone on red alert. And keep...
You outlanders, lay down the blasters right now or get a bad case of lead spread. Do it now, people. Now!
Fuck!
Dean?
I said now!
Do it, people.
For several heartbeats, nothing happened at all. Ryan laid his new Steyr rifle by his feet, letting his pistol remain in its holster. Both Christy and Mildred put down their blasters, and Doc, snuffling with anger, drew the Lama and placed it carefully on the raked gravel. JB put the shotgun down. Dean had remained frozen in place, the .22 caliber Smith & Wesson gripped in his right hand.
The kid needs to put down his little toy. One-eyed man and the runt with the glasses better dig out those automatics and get them in the dirt. Fast, people!
Gotcha.
Ryan took the P226 from its holster and placed it on the path, butt towards him, ready for a last despairing grab. JB also put down his new Uzi. Dean didn't move.
Don't want to chill a kid, but he gets powdered in 5 seconds from now if he hangs on to his blaster. Five and counting, people.
Ryan turned to his son, seeing the tightness of the boy's jaw and the blank stare in his eyes.
4, 3, 2.
Ryan took the couple of steps and gripped his son by the wrist, feeling the fragile strength in the boy's bones and muscles.
Give it to me, Dean, or we all go down in a river of blood.
His son's face looked up at him.
Rona said never give in.
1.
Ryan took the Smith & Wesson from the unresisting fingers and put it carefully down.
Your mother was part right. The traitor used to say that he who doesn't fight but runs away lives to fight another day. Get it?
Yeah.
The boy cracked the shadow of a smile.
Yeah, I get it.
You done good, one-eyed man. Now just stand a few paces off from the blasters, and me and some of my men will come out from cover and take you all to have a talk with Boss Larry.
Ryan looked around at JB, standing almost at his elbow.
Boss Larry?
The armorer shook his head.
Must be the local baron, I guess.
From behind the tall screen of trimmed yew trees, the first of the hidden sect men made his appearance. He was holding an 8-shot government model Colt 45. His uniform was a camouflage jacket and pants in a variety of shades of green and brown, and he wore polished combat boots. There was a dark green beret on his head. He looked around 30 and had a casual professionalism that hinted at some efficient training somewhere up the line. He had 4 silver stripes on his left sleeve.
Best of the day to you people. Welcome to the Ville of Green Glades, home of the Baron Boss Larry. I'm called Kelly, and I'm in charge of the squad of general layabouts and vagabonds you see emerging from the bushes around you.
There were 10 in the patrol, all armed with identical Colt blasters, all in the same uniform, and showing the same sort of alertness as the non-com Kelly. They kept a careful distance from the 6 friends, making sure each one was covered. Any kind of move against the sec men would have been instant suicide. Seeing they had only handguns, Ryan had considered risking a firefight, but that would almost certainly have left some of them down and dying. So far, everyone was still alive. So far.
Not very talkative bunch of outlanders, are you?
Haven't had much chance to get a word in.
Right. Right, my one-eyed friend.
You taking us to the Baron?
Of course. Any objection?
No. Just getting bored with waiting.
You I like also. Maybe we'd better just run some names by me, so I can introduce you properly to Boss Larry.
I'm Ryan Carter. Boy, here's my son Dean.
And where do y'all come from, Ryan Carter and your son Dean?
Ryan waved a hand vaguely toward the trees.
Around.
Sure. The rest of your names? Ladies?
Christy Roth. Dr. Mildred Wyeth.
Doctor? Like, you heal people? cure them of croup, mumps, measles, the pox, the flux, the wasting sickness, and...
Yeah, but not all of them at once.
Sense of humor. Like that. My best point is my sense of humor. So they tell me.
The sick leader looked at Doc Tenner.
How about you, old-timer? You got a name?
Of course I have a name, you pumped-up little parakeet. My name is Dr. Theophilus Tanner, and before you ask me, I will not be curing any pox or flux, or any other illness if it comes to that. My doctorate is in science, and not in medicine.
The muzzle of the big Colt moved a little to center on the old man's belt buckle.
I like a sense of humor, but I don't like nippy little pricks that think they're better than the rest of the Baron's creatures. You reading me, Dr. Tanner?
Doc nodded.
I accept the rebuke, Mr. Kelly. The touch of verbal dysentery has always been one of my vanities.
Vanities? What the sucking death are those?
Weaknesses. I have many vanities, my dear fellow. So many that I sometimes think I should consign them all to a large bonfire.
Kelly looked him slowly up and down.
You, I might like. Again, I might not. How about you? Little guy with the punch-packing blaster. Incidentally, people, I've never seen any Outlanders traveling with such an interesting mess of hardware. Where'd you...
He stopped, as if a thought had just struck him.
No. That's for the boss. Just your name for now.
Name's J.B. Dix. Can we pick up our blasters?
Ryan thought the man was probably one of the most cold-hearted killers he'd ever seen. Then again, a man could always be wrong. One baron he'd met, up on the edge of the Darks, had a woman sec chief who looked like everyone's favorite granny. But Ryan had personally seen the apple-cheeked old lady hack open a prisoner's chest and tear out his lungs. You never could tell.
We'll carry your blasters for you, Mr. Dix. You and all your Outlander companions. Maybe the Baron will let you have them back. And maybe he won't. Now, let's see. I'd like to see you walking in a nice line, keep a couple of yards gap. Mr. Carter first, then the ladies and the funny old man. Mr. Dix comes last of all.
What about me?
Kelly narrowed his eyes.
Your name was... what was it?
Dean.
You walk along with me, son. So if your daddy or any of them get foolish ideas, then I get to blow the side of your head all over the path. What a mess, what a mess.
Blood and brains and itsy teeny sharp bits of bone all everywhere.
Ryan caught Kelly's eye.
We gonna stay here and hear you jerking off all day, or do we get to meet this Baron?
The smile vanished, like late frost off a sun-warmed roof.
Sure, yeah, sure.
The patrol of Sekhman had been well trained. They kept a safe distance from their prisoners, some walking ahead and some behind. Kelly strolled amiably at the front, occasionally pointing something out to the young boy, who mostly kept silent. It was an amazing ville. Ryan had seen pics in old mags and vids of the theme parks that sprang up toward the end of the 20th century. There were wild rides through tottering webs of steel while everyone screamed. He knew there were also different kinds of attractions, most of them aimed at children.
What was this place called, Predark?
The noncom Kelly glanced over his shoulder.
Nowhere else like this in all Deathlands. Used to be called Green Glades Theme Park. Best in Florida.
At last, they knew for certain where the jump had landed them. It wasn't all that far from one of their earlier adventures in the heart of the bayous, home of young Jack Lauren.
What's it called now?
Green Gladesville. Real creative, huh?
Ryan nodded.
Like you say, I never seen nothing like it before.
Anything, Ryan. Not nothing. Anything.
A huge amount of Jack had been expended on bringing the old park up to its present state, and there was an impressive quality of technical expertise. Even the old signs had been repainted, telling what the attractions were named. They walked past several. Some were what Mildred told them had been called roller coaster rides, where people were strapped into little cars and sent hurtling at speeds that defied gravity and death.
As I told Dean, they took you over, under, and around, up and down and through, backward, forward, and inside and out.
I recall a visit to Coney Island, where I ate some hideous pink confection like sugared mist. I threw baseballs at coconuts and tried to win a Cupid doll with a miscited Winchester.